Here.
Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up!
Welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and right now I'm just currently joined by one of my co-hosts so far. What's going on, Craig?
Hey, man, what's going on with you? It's a nice day here in all right, I'm not kidding anybody. It's a just fine day here in the Seattle area.
What's the temperature right now?
Oh, it's a balmy 68 degrees or so.
It's 68 degrees, and I hear Brian and Vinny and Granny always complaining about the weather. I would kill to have 68 degrees right now. It's like 100 and something outside.
Right, and I've made a statement many, many times that I would never live anywhere else but Washington, possibly Oregon, because this is just perfect. You know, Brian was complaining. He was in Vegas a couple weeks ago and going on and on about 103 temperature or, you know, 80 degree temperature. It was in the 80s here for a couple of days, and then it calms right back down, and it's just pleasant around here. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, but there's a lot of rain. That kind of sucks, though.
Our other co-host
has decided to join us a few minutes late here. What's going on, Contreras?
Not much. What's going on with you guys?
All I know is that Craig is putting down toilet seats.
Yes, I am. In fact, I went around the house today and put down toilet seats today.
Now,
I used toilet seats today.
Basically, the missus is having a get-together downstairs. There's going to be about, a dozen hens, ladies in the house, later on this evening, and they're getting together and, you know, eating snacks and some girl's going to come and try to sell them jewelry. So it's one of those things.
Cool. So I guess you're locked in your Pro Jam memorial closet?
It's not a closet. It's a room. And no, I'm actually in the bedroom. I'm good.
See, that's even scarier. I mean, a closet's one thing because it's not that big, but they actually have a whole room dedicated to Pro Jam. They should be documentary. You should be like part of a documentary of like obsessed Pro Jam fan.
Did you say my house is not that big?
Your house is pretty decent size.
Okay, well then I can necessitate one room with my stuff, don't you think?
Well, like I was saying, it's a lot of stuff. I mean, it'd be one thing if it was just in a closet, but a whole room, that's like...
Let's quit bashing me and let's bash somebody else.
I don't want to bash anybody. I want to start by praising somebody, and that's the greatest man who ever lived. Because 2 weeks ago or over a week ago, I thought I saw the best promo of the year by CM Punk. And then I watched a 20-minute interview with Chael. I can't even say his name right.
Chael.
With Yeah. Tell Tony with Ariel Helwani. I don't even know if I said that right. And my God, this was the greatest interview I ever seen. This man can talk so much shit. It's off the top of his head. He don't need no fucking lines. I mean, that was just awesome. What did you think about it, Craig?
It was phenomenal. The guy is a worker through and through. He's just unbelievable. The way he can just lie so straight-faced. It's amazing.
I don't know. Did you see that video clip, Couture?
No, I don't care.
He's not an MMA guy.
You should care, because this is better than any pro wrestling. It was a pro wrestling promo, dude. Just what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, it's pretty killer.
I don't care. It's nothing I'm going to follow, so it's nothing I'm going to want to say, so I don't give a shit.
If you saw this promo, you would want to see it. It would have the opposite effect of the Briscoe promo had on you.
That's true.
I doubt that. I probably still hate it.
Yeah, well, that's because you hate anything that's not old-time NWA wrestling.
Sorry. I ain't changing my ways. Fuck off.
That was a little story today. But that's all right. So what time did you actually tell our guests we were calling them, Craig?
I told him we'd call him about 10 after, so we got a couple more minutes to kill. Did you see USC this weekend?
No.
Yes. Well, of course you didn't see it, but I saw it. It was a pretty good show.
Pretty good.
I didn't actually watch the pay-per-view. I watched an illegal stream.
You might want to quit broadcasting that, by the way.
Sometimes you have to deal with pop-up ads that pop up right in the fucking player, and there was an ad that popped up, and right when I clicked off it, it's the right second where Teal just nailed Vader. And but that was awesome. I started jumping up and down, and I couldn't believe it. I was never so happy to lose $5 in my life because I bet against Tito because who knew he was going to win. And he kicked Vader's ass. That was incredible.
Such a good card. It's probably the best card of the year. The Uriah Faber and Cruz match was awesome. Man, it was a great fight. And,
it was awesome, and I thought it was a lot closer than the referees gave it. I mean, it's like they totally negated three knockdowns. I mean, he knocked him down, and just because they, well, Dominic took it right down. Yeah, he took him down, but he was right back up. So what's the difference between him getting knocked down and getting back up, being taken down and getting backed up? I mean, I'm not arguing Dominic winning because I could see him winning, but to me it was a pretty damn close decision. It could have gone either way to me.
Yeah, one of the female judge scored it 45-50, and I about spit the pop I was drinking at the time. Like, you're out of your mind. And that judging was, I don't care what anybody says, that judging was not so hot that night. The handsome Matt Wyman fight, that guy won the fight. He totally dominated the second round, and he took the first round.
Fucking that dude.
Yeah, at the very least, it should have been ruled a draw. At the very least.
Not even a draw. He won that fight.
Absolutely. And I was disappointed, but not sorely disappointed at the Vanderlei Chris Lieben fight.
Well, you knew Vanderlei was going to go down if he got tagged one time in the gym.
I didn't think he was going to go down in 27 seconds.
It was going to be one or the other was going to go down. I wasn't expecting it to go past a minute. I really didn't. And I pretty much figured Lieben would probably take a few shots and then just get one in there, and that's all it's going to take because there's no chin left. He's like Liddell. There's nothing there. I mean, they can work out and look as good as they want and throw fucking nice punches and just look good, but no matter what they get tagged with, it's going to put them out, whether it's a knockout blow or just any kind of blow.
Yeah, it was a good fight. It was a good card, man. I really really enjoyed the fight this weekend.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And I'm about to call our guest, and I'm trying to find the message for you. Oh, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot it was the two different messages here. So I am going to try and call our guest here.
Hey,
so,
Ed, real quick.
I'll need you two gentlemen to talk amongst yourselves.
Ed.
Yes.
When you get him on the phone, what? Don't throw anything to me because the power went out of my house and I lost my questions.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
That sucks.
Sorry.
No
problem.
Okay,
to maneuver.
Let me call this guy. So you guys take care of the show here.
All right. You got storms at your place or just clumsy?
No, it just went out. I mean, it's like 100 degrees outside. I don't know.
Maybe a brownout, people using their AC too much?
Might be.
Huh.
Well, we had a terrible thing here yesterday at the baseball game.
Oh, that was so brutal, man. And the worst thing about it, that if you didn't know, this fan reached for a foul ball and then ended up falling onto the field and dying at the Texas Rangers game. And the horrible thing about it was the announcers, you know, not knowing the guy was, you know, dead, they kind of made jokes and, oh, jeez. Yeah, that was pretty brutal. I heard today they were going to get the players therapy and they were going to do everything for the little kid. And man, what a way to start the weekend.
Yeah, terrible. They're still talking about it today. Doing a bunch of stuff. They're doing another game tonight, I think, and they're going to do something there.
And a bad thing, that poor outfielder tossing the ball to the fan that actually missed it. Oh, he probably feels horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Craig, introduce our guest, please.
Our guest this evening is featured on the reality show World of Hurt. He has trained with Lance Storm. We'll be working with him later this month with Prairie Wrestling Alliance. Please welcome to the show the recently violated T-Bone.
How you doing, guys?
Good
like
to talk to you. How are you?
Recently violated in there.
we had to put it because that was the most the funniest thing I've ever seen on a reality TV show.
Oh, you guys seen the DVD?
I saw some links on the internet of that episode.
I haven't seen a bit of it, but luckily we have a mutual friend in Mr. Lance Storm that fed us some questions this evening.
Oh, that's great.
Well, let's get some background on you first off. How'd you get involved with wrestling? Tell us where you're from. You know, just give us a little bio on T-Bone.
Okay. Well, originally I come from Newfoundland. It's a large island off the east coast of Canada. Far east as you can go. And as if to get involved in wrestling, like, I'm not really sure when I sparked the interest. It was so long ago. I was in Quebec around the Montreal area with my brother, and we were working together at the time. And we stopped for lunch one day and stopped into this little restaurant. And on the way out, I seen a poster on the wall. And I've never, you know, I didn't have a clue what independent wrestling was. As far as I knew in the world, it was just WWE and WCW and everything at the time. So when I seen this poster, I was like, oh, my God, really? So we went to the show, and I started going there training and stuff. And after that, I realized that the guys that were training me weren't really trained themselves. So I shortly left, and I went right downtown Montreal to a company called NCW. Where they brought Lance in for a weekend to do a weekend seminar and train the guys there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just doing security at the time. Like, I didn't know much. I was just really starting to learn how to bump safely. And when Lance came, he was wearing a Storm Wrestling Academy t-shirt. And I walked up to him. I asked him, I'd never heard of it before, and asked him all about it. And he said he was just opening it, so... Long story short, I got my cash together and headed to Calgary, because if I was going to get trained by anybody, especially in Canada, it'd be Lance.
Right. Now, what year was this?
When I first seen him, it was probably around 2004, 2005 or so. But I went to a school in June 2006, so just almost exactly 5 years ago.
Now, Ken, you talked about how you first trained with some guys who really weren't trained themselves. Can you talk about the difference between that early training compared to what you received at Lance's school? Because you're talking about one of the best workers of all time compared to guys who themselves didn't know how to work.
Yeah, well, see the difference. when you go to Lance school, first off, he'll put you through drills, not even in the ring, just to see how your cardio is. I mean, he wants to see, you know, these guys can actually do a push-up, see who's in shape and who's not, who's going to be the right candidate for this business. As opposed to the guys I went to before, that was in southern Quebec, somewhere out in the boonies. They had me trying to do front bumps, back bumps, and flips off the rope, and they were training in a boxing ring, and I believe I went there six times, and the guy looked at me and said, "Oh, you're ready." I was like, "Ready? Ready for what? Did you get ready for a show?" I was like, "No, I'm not. Like, I don't know anything. I just watched the stuff on TV at the time, but I knew I wasn't ready, so that was the last time I went to their training."
Unreal.
Yeah.
I've worked in a boxing ring. That sucks.
Might as well just bump on the ground, man.
Yeah, I worked in a boxing ring that actually Buddy Wayne and Buddy Rose broke. And to fix it, they reinforced it with steel bars. So there was no give to it whatsoever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was brutal. But this isn't about me. This is about T-Bone. you are featured on World of Hurt. Who came to you with the show?
Lance actually came to me because they were trying to make the decision if they were going to bring in some guys who actually had worked and had experience before, or if they were going to bring in some blow Joe nobodies who haven't been in the ring, and he was going to try to train them from the ground up, or people he hasn't even met before. So I guess it was more or less Lance's decision to grab his top students from over the years, and not all of them were students of his anyway, like a couple females, but it was Lance who came to me, and I'm pretty sure he came to everybody else.
Basically you had to wear the same gear every day, and I know it probably took a lot of time and like having to film like certain angles for different people who weren't in the main frame. Can you tell us about how grueling, or did it take time to adjust to doing all the TV stuff, or, you know, was it just you out there doing this, you know, learning with your, you know, learning from Lance, or I mean, just tell us about the whole thing about doing reality TV.
Well, I come to find out that reality TV is,
not real.
I think I know
real is a lot of people. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But we had a blast on set, obviously, because a lot of us know each other from over years, but the training aspect was totally different. Because when you're going to wrestling school, there's no time, not much time for rest. And when you're hitting drills, you're hitting drills. And if you screw up, you watch it back on tape, and you go and you'll try it again. But for the camera crew and the director, producers and everybody, to get what they wanted, they threw somewhat of some kind of a drill, and Lance would decide which one he thought they would want. And, there was one set they were trying to film where Benjamin English from London, England, was trying to find his fire in his comeback and being a baby face, and he was trying to drop kicks and springboard cross bodies and stuff, but he's a tall, lanky dude, and it didn't work out too well. And I was taking all the bumps for him. So then Lance went up to him and did exactly what he was trying to do, but did it a lot better, obviously. So then Lance said, "Well, try it differently." So he tried it differently and tried some different stuff, more of his repertoire, more brawling and a few suplexes. And at the end of every that spot, he would peel me out to the floor over the top rope. And that's fine. I've done it a million times. So I've been thrown over the top rope into a concrete floor, and that's fine enough. But I'm used to wearing boots at shows. So I was wearing amateurs when we were taping this. And just to give you an idea of how it's different to train in front of the camera crew than it is an actual in the real, when you're getting trained to be a wrestler, is they came out and asked us to do this probably 3 to 5 times, I believe. So by the end of the fourth or fifth time, I was smacking my heels off the concrete floor, and I wasn't realizing it because I'm so used to punching my feet with a pair of boots on. And when I woke up the next morning, my ankles were purple and swollen, and I had to bandage them and go in and take all the bumps and everything. So, yeah, it's a totally different world.
Now, in the show, they made it seem like there was a lot of arguing going on, like a lot of the guys were picking on the girls, and a lot of guys weren't getting along. Was that edited that way, or what was the actual, how did you guys actually get along during the filming? I was going to say, was the Prince Dian and the other guy, were they as big as dicks as they came off on the TV?
You're talking about Dylan and Frenchie, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the guys are dicks, but, I mean, I love them. That's probably why I love them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't be in this business and not be a dick to some point.
Right.
There's no room for pussies in this business. I don't know if I can say that on your show, but... some people, the camera crew came to him and asked him to go a certain direction, like myself. Like, they asked me to be a more humble, down-to-earth, from butt-fuck-nowhere, Newfoundland hick, where I'm not used to the girls walking around wearing barely anything. I'm not used to these assholes like Frenchie and Dylan who are in your face, but actually I enjoy it, you know what I mean? That's half the reason I'm in this. I just can't get away from it. But for those guys there, a lot of times they just turn the camera on and would go. And for the girls, I mean, Dylan gave Casey a hard time a lot of the episode. And I believe the director went to Dylan and asked him to give her a hard time, and she just couldn't handle it. So her emotions are actually all real. She couldn't help it because we're all pretty close. And then on camera, the boys are giving her such a hard time, she pretty much broke down, started crying, screaming, swinging. It was interesting, yeah.
Go ahead,
Clay. We recently had skid marks on our show, and we've had Johnny Fairplay on our show, and it's odd that you mentioned that you know that they tried to twist your character. Any other things they tried to get you to do besides, you know, your quote unquote gimmick that they wanted you to have?
Not necessarily. Like, it's just weird. It was just weird scenes. Like, they asked me to. I don't know if you've seen my episode. Lance probably sent you the first two or three or whatever you've seen on the internet. They asked me to go and have a conversation with my father on camera. So I just phoned him up and I didn't let him know. I just had a chat with him and that was it. But later on when I watched my episode a couple weeks back, they edited it so it looked like I left training because I was upset. I couldn't get along with anybody because I was such a hick, and I couldn't turn the switch to be a good enough baby face. So I got upset, and I left training, and I went out and grabbed the phone and phoned my dad, and he asked me if I was going to stick it out. And I was like, no, probably not. But obviously none of this really happened. So, yeah, they put you in situations, and then they'll do what they want with it after.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I was...
How do you personally feel about your episode?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up there?
My bad.
I was asking, how do you personally feel about your episode?
Like, I don't regret anything I said or did on there. I feel that the plot never made sense. And I actually listened to Brian Alvarez do a summary of it on his show, and he was totally right. Like, none of it made sense. The whole thing was that I can't play babyface. And more often than not, I am booked as a heel. It's just because I have that look to me. But it doesn't mean I can't do it, but this is the obstacle they wanted me to come over on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me.
And that was a question I had. They talked about you not being able to flip the switch and work babyface and go away from working heel. Me seeing you, I've seen the pictures on the World of Hurt website. You kind of have a just incredible kind of look to you. No offense to either of you, but
no.
you look like a, well, as the website says, a natural heel.
Yeah. Well, this is it. This is what they tried to say, that I could not work babyface. And I have worked babyface, and I can. I've done it in training. It's just, it's not a lot of I'd say about 80% of my career so far I have worked heel. It's just the promoters prefer it, and I work well as it. I can really go either way, but in the episode they were saying I had such a hard time doing it. But the problem was, and we warned them before we taped my episode, is this direction they wanted to go. That here in
right.
Calgary and Alberta and Edmonton with Prairie Wrestling Alliance, with everything they've done with me over the past, I want to say 2 years I've been working for, maybe three.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a heel from the get-go, one of their main heels. So Prairie Wrestling Alliance and World of Hurt combined to this live event that you see on the episodes. So it's the same audience, probably plus a few more hundred or whoever came out to see the World of Hurt live event. Myself and Lance warned them before we went out there that I just can't switch babyface for one show. It'll ruin everything that we've done over the past 2 or 3 years with Prairie Wrestling Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of the warning we gave them, they went with the same direction anyway. So I played it up during training, and then come the live event, I'm all ready to go out and be a babyface against Dylan Knight, and then Lance comes along and throws a swerve at me and says, I'm going to be heel against Carl O'Cannon. So, I mean, I'm not upset by this by any means, really, but because I'm more comfortable as a heel than a babyface. But then I have to act upset on camera, and it kind of makes me look like a douche, you know what I mean? Because if anything, I should be happy, but I have, you know, when you're in a situation like that and you're being paid to be there, you do what you're asked, really.
Gotcha.
So that's how I feel about my episode. It was just awkward, and the whole storyline never made sense. Oh, and the whole evaluation at the end. The whole episode is about me trying to be a babyface, and I can't do it.
Right.
And then Lance sits me down. He looks at me in the eye with that stern look that he's got. And he says, T-Bone, you know the one reason you haven't made it? And by the way, he said that to me and only me. And then they use that phrase in every single episode, and it drives me crazy when I watch it.
They spliced it. They spliced
anyway,
it in on every episode.
T-Bone. Yeah, oh yeah. So T-Bone, you know the one reason why you haven't made it? And we're looking at each other in the eye, and, you know, I figure for the show, he's probably going to say, you can't flip the switch. You got to learn how to flip the switch. No, he doesn't say that at all. He looks at me and says, T-Bone, your personality's 11. Your face is an 11. What you do in the ring, I believe a bit of it, but your body's a 7. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, at the time, I didn't know exactly what they were going to do with my show. I didn't know how they were going to make me look, so it never hit me at the time until I watched the episode. And I just busted out in laughter, really, because what does that got to do with the last 25 minutes of television I just watched? Like, I don't understand what's going on. I'm really confused.
Awesome.
And I've seen a lot of shitty indie booking. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
I'm sure you do.
Is it Lance your booker?
What? Well, things have changed since he's come along, okay? I don't work for just Prairie Wrestling Alliance.
Well, speaking of Lance, we've had Lance on our show plenty of times. We've actually met Lance and hung out with him. And how often did he ever crack a smile during training?
During training?
Yeah, like when he was training you guys or during the show.
During the show? Behind camera in the back, we were actually having a laugh. He was laughing a fair bit. I mean, once you really get to know the guy and that Vulcan Eagle stare that he has, you know, guys and Muppets, that goes away after a while, believe it or not.
I love it.
And he's
That's
pretty
awesome.
Damn funny. I'm not lying at all. I mean, we've got pictures of him, like, we've had him dressed up, and he's just acting a total fool. But on camera...
Yeah,
you could cut an edge. You could cut the area with that.
He can flip. He can flip the switch. Is what you're saying?
Oh yeah. In a heartbeat.
Now speaking of the Prairie Wrestling, you actually got to work with Booker T before he went back to the WWE, and you actually, if I'm not mistaken, you traded title wins against him. What was it like working with Booker T?
Booker was the complete professional in my point of view. I mean, he came up, and I think the only reason he agreed to do it is because Lance was booking. I mean, he doesn't know the promoter. He doesn't know anybody up here, as far as I know. But I think Lance talked to him, and he agreed to come up and work the show, I believe it was last year. And he came up, and we introduced ourselves to each other, and like, I met a lot of high-up guys before, and they'll never really remember your name or whatever because they meet so many people, and it's understandable, right? So we went out and worked our match, and, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, like, this is probably the most famous opponent I've been in the ring with yet.
Sure.
So I'm not going to lay it all in like I usually do because I don't know how this guy works. Like, I don't know if he's going to come back and freak out at me because I tagged him so much. So I go out there, and he smacked the shit out of me. But not in a bad way. He never hurt me, you know what I mean? He hit me in the right place. But not,
right.
I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, okay, well, you know, he don't know me, and I don't deserve anything. Like, it doesn't matter how he treats me. And we went through the match, and everything went fine. And we got to the back, and I went and shook his hand, and I was like, thanks a lot, Booker. He was like, oh, yeah, thanks, good man. And he started walking away. I was like, Booker, is there any advice you could give me? And he's like, no, man, you did fine. I literally had to grab him by the arm and turn him around. I didn't know it was a very good idea at the time. I was like, no, man. I was like, seriously, I'm not bullshitting you. Do you have any advice for me? So he sat me down for a good, you know, 45 minutes to an hour.
Wow.
And just went over simple things, just the way to carry myself in different roles. And just, I'm not going to get into it, obviously, because we're in a public forum, but just for a man like that to sit down and give me that kind of advice when all he had to do was go back to his hotel room and go to sleep for the night.
Wow.
And so that night he took the PWA championship away from me, which is a big shock to everybody because anytime a name is brought in, they don't ever take a title with them. So it set up for a couple months later down the road when he came back to Calgary and we had a rematch. And now that we know each other a little bit, and he came to me before the show, he's like, you know, just because it's me, it don't mean that you got to take it easy on me. But okay, Buck, right on. So I'll see you out there then. So we went out there, and I gave him everything I had. I mean, I believe there's one point he even told me I literally knocked him on his ass. I hit him in the head so hard. So I gave him everything I had, and I was swinging and hitting him, and he was hitting me back, and I'm not going to draw back because it's Booker T, so I'm going to let him hit me as hard as he wants. And we go through the match, and we get back, and I go, oh, man, what's he going to say, man, what's he going to say? And he got back, he's like, oh, and he was just ecstatic. And I ended up taking the belt off him. And just for a guy of that stature, I mean, this is Booker T, he's been world champion numerous times. Been on every television network you can think of that there's wrestling, every major company that there's ever been. And for him to come up here and work that small program with me and make this territory around Alberta just a better place, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
give me the rub.
Cool.
I mean, I've met so many guys that wouldn't even give you a time of day, but this is Booker T. He main event at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And for him to come up here and give this whole territory a rub like that, not only me, just the whole place in general, is a complete professional in my eyes. I've never even had a chance to tell him or thank him or anything because after the show he was with a bunch of fans, and obviously I'm not going to go talk to him in front of a bunch of fans, but hopefully when they pass through town again in August, I'll get the chance to tell him myself.
Cool, man.
Okay.
Contrast working Booker T with working Tyler Rex in a match on ECW TV.
Contrast it?
Okay, so Booker T's been in the business for years. Tyler Rex been in the business for a minute. How was it working Tyler Rex on ECW television?
Well, that's a totally different atmosphere altogether. It's a totally different world.
Sure.
You go main event on a over-advertised independent show to a 1.5-minute match on ECW with a guy who's been doing it less time than I have.
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different world, especially when there's agents everywhere and there's the office and everyone's, you know, and I'm just running around like a chicken with my head got off doing what I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
From I ever got, like, work for the company or whatever, so there's a lot of contrast. is miles long, the contrast between that. At least with Book, I was able to be creative, and he was actually he's a real help, and I learned a lot with Tyler. Even he's doing what he's told, you know what I mean?
Right.
The T-Rex is his name now, is it?
Maybe. I haven't heard from the guy in a while. I bet you catering was better, though. Come on.
Yeah, that night was kind of a turning point for me, actually.
Because
I believe I was working about 3 years at the time, and Lance always told me from the get-go, he's like, you know, you got a lot of personalities. If you get some meat on those bones, I believe you might actually be able to go somewhere. And I always heard them, you know what I mean? And going around indie shows, I mean, even the in-shape guys, when you look at the guys compared on TV, a lot of them don't compare. But, you know, I've been all around Canada by that time and worked with a lot of the guys around here. And it was that night when I got back there, and out of probably four or five of us that were in the ring that day, Jamie Noble said, you come with me. And that's when they decided to put me on the show that night.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty amazed because the guys that were with me were a lot bigger and a lot more in shape. But then I got back, and I had my tights on. I'm standing next to Tyler Rex. And, you know, and then there's Sheamus and guys like this. And I'm kind of looking at him, looking at myself, and looking at them, and looking at myself, and saying, God damn. I like that Lance was like, I look at Lance, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
Like, well, how is that? I'm going to the gym first thing tomorrow morning. Well, I've been working like a son of a bitch since that day.
I'm glad you brought that back around.
Go ahead.
I'm glad you brought that back around. There was one of the episodes, there was a little bit of a bench contest, and the next thing you know, Lance is having the quote-unquote drug talk with you guys, and, you know, talking about steroids and painkillers and things like that. How do you feel about the fact that all the guys in the WWE need to be huge, and that's kind of the way that, let's be honest, a lot of them get there. And, you know, Lance is having this talk. How do you process all that?
How do I process it?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, they obviously have drug testing, wellness policy in place in WWE, and how they stay so big, I'm not really sure. They obviously had to pass the drug test, so they're not on so much stuff that they can't pass it. That's myself being introduced to the business by Lance. He's pounded it into my head from the get-go not to take the shortcut. And it's kind of hard, you know what I mean? Especially when he's down my throat saying get bigger as well. Or pay more attention to your body, which I have been. I'm doing it naturally, and it's coming along, and it's a slow process when you're not taking the shortcuts.
Right.
So the guys that get there without doing it, I respect them 150% because I understand now how damn hard it is. And even, you know, even the guys on it, you got to put in a lot of hard work to look the way they do.
Oh yeah.
I definitely have a lot of respect for the guys that get there without touching it, like Lance or Punk or whoever, you know. They get to the top of their game and they didn't have to take any shortcuts. It just shows how much determination and how much of a man that whoever it is really is.
Cool.
Now, working on WWE TV, you know, that's kind of like a big thing. They're like control freaks. They like to control everything. How much instructions did they give you going into that match, or did they just tell you to go out there and have a match with Tyler?
With WWE?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, we went out there and had a match.
Everything called in the ring?
Pretty much, yeah. Well, it was only a minute and a half. I mean, if you can't call a match in a minute and a half, it's probably time to start thinking about something else.
Awesome. Lance also told me to ask you about working the Honky Tonk Man.
Oh, the Honky Tonk Man. Honky Tonk Man's a good man. He's a good lad.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. And actually sitting down talking with them, you'll learn so much more than going out and working on the independence for a month. Just to sit down and listen to his stories or listen to the advice that he has to pass on. I worked hockey once. We were supposed to go for a week or maybe 2 weeks. We're on this tour. We were supposed to work each other every night. And I remember before the match, music, like, nobody showed up, probably 20 people. And this guy had bands booked, and he had hockey booked, and he had a bunch of us from Calgary booked, the Stampede crew or whatever. And he was losing his shirt pretty much. So
yeah.
Hockey come up to me and say, all right, this is going to be a training match. I said, okay, Hockey. And I went to shake his hand, and he gave me a hard look. I was like, what's on the go, man? He said, I'll shake your hand after the match. I was like, oh, shit. So we went out and had the match, and everything went fine. We did all Hockey spots, and he sang a song, and it was a good laugh. And we came back, and then he shook my hand, and he said, good job, T, good job. You did a great job out there. I'm looking forward to working with you for the rest of the tour. So
this is night one.
Night ended. The bands refused to go on because nobody showed up. Not to mention the Monday night when Raw was on for free. Refused to go on. They go back to the hotel, and the bands leave. They take what booze they had in their contract. They take the booze they like, and they leave the, I think, some beers behind or something. I mean, if you're a sit-down honky-tonk man, he enjoys to have a good brew while he's having a chat.
Yes, he does.
Right?
Yes, he does.
So after our match, the agent of the band comes up into the locker room, and he grabs what booze that the band wants, and he looks at us. He said, boys, so we don't want the rest of this, so go ahead. So Honky grabbed the brew, and I grabbed the brew, and we were sitting there and had a few, and, you know, and the rest of the boys being workers, they all had a few drinks, and we went back to the hotel room, and this promoter flipped his lid, saying that we stole all the booze, and we stole everything from the venue and burned the venue. And then we started thinking, you know, this guy spent probably $10,000 a night, and he had 20 people show up. And all of a sudden, the tour is canceled.
Oops.
So the tour is canceled, and he's blaming me for being the ringleader of it all, I guess because me and Honky were the first ones to crack a beer each, and we were just talking. He blames me for being the ringleader, and I'm sitting there thinking, you son of a bitch. You're losing your shirt, and you're going to try to turn it around on us is what he's doing.
Right.
So he goes down down to the hotel office, and he tries to cancel his payment on my room. He was going to try to make me pay for it myself.
Jeez.
And where he got the idea I was the ringleader, I don't know. So we were just sitting around talking. So I went down to the parking lot, and I was going to ring his bell after I heard what was going on. But he screeched at the parking lot, and he couldn't reverse the payments, and my room was already paid for. So I was like, okay, well, the tour's canceled. Now everybody's got to get home. And then I realized poor Honky is still at the hotel. Honky don't live anywhere around here. You know, this is north of Edmonton, so we're talking northern Canada. And there's no airports around there either. So he left Honky high and dry. And it was an interesting tour. We got Honky a ride back to the airport. And I've seen him again once more time in D.C. And we had a good time then. But that was my first time working with the Honky Tonk Man.
Do you think he just saw you sitting around drinking a beer and just wanted to go off on the first person he saw that I guess was, you know, just having a good time or something like that? He's just so pissed or something?
Excuse me?
I said, do you think that when he saw you drinking a beer, he just kind of went off on the first person he saw? That's why he did that?
Well, yeah, I think that's what it was, because we were standing up in the upstairs part of it in the window, and we were just talking, standing in the window having a beer. So I guess that was the picture he seen in his head, so this is what he tried to go off about.
And obviously, if he's a promoter, he's not going to go off on Honky Tonk Man.
That's right.
Exactly. Why would you? But, I mean, who would leave Honky at a hotel in the middle of nowhere, too? So I don't know what he was trying to prove.
Now, talking about working some famous guys, you actually, weren't you involved in a match against Lance, with Lance was doing a mask gimmick?
Yeah, he went under a hood one night because we're supposed to have a Storm Wrestling Academy tag team match. This is for the same promoter, actually. This was his first show he ever ran. This is why I agreed to go on this tour with him. It's funny you asked that question. But, yeah, one of our guys had two dates down in Michigan, I believe. So he decided to cancel his original booking, which is a big no-no in my eyes. I've always been trained to honor your bookings no matter what.
Sure.
He canceled and went for the double shot in Michigan, which got canceled by the promoter. So then he tried to backtrack and get his spot back.
And
said, well, nope, you're going to learn your lesson now. I'm going to take your PO and I'm going to work under a hood. So
there's
he put on a mask, and him and Pete Powers, I believe, faced me and Dylan Knight. And I'm telling you, man, that guy, he might be 40 years old, but he can go. He put on that mask, he started doing handsprings, and he's doing all this loot flipping around, and I'm standing there ready to lock up. I'm like, where is this coming from? Like, I've never seen him do anything like this in my life. That was fun, too. We called that one on the fly for the most part. It's so easy, it would have gone out of the clients, you know?
Yeah, I saw him work Brian under a hood probably 6-8 months ago, and man, that guy's, I hate to say he still got it, because that would mean for somewhere he lost it, but he's such an amazing worker.
And he has to have a sore back from carrying Chico like that.
Chico's only 140 pounds, come on.
Yeah, but still. He's a dirt sheet rider. He's not a wrestler. Come on. Now, speaking of Brian, how did you actually feel listening to his show? Did you enjoy it? How did you feel about? He didn't like bury you or anything. But what were your thoughts when you were listening to that show?
I kind of knew what to expect before Lance even put it on for me.
Yeah.
Because I listen to him all the time when we make our Edmonton trips up for PWA. And cool. I kind of knew what to expect. He didn't bury me or nothing. It was more or less just the way they put the show together, and it just made no goddamn sense, you know what I mean? It baffles me, really. And when you got guys like Brian, you guys do watch these shows and pick them to pieces, is because it's what you do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He definitely picked up a lot more points than what I picked up on, because when I'm watching, I'm thinking about the stuff that actually happened, or the stuff that happened just before what you're seeing, or what happened after, you know what I mean? So for someone like him to sit down and watch it and give his point of view on it, and I'm able to listen to it, now I can actually know what people think about it, and like an educated mind towards this.
Yeah, I hate to bring up
by any means. I busted laughing about 10 times listening to it.
I hate to bring up the big white elephant in the room, but can you tell the listeners a little bit something about the you were molested on a show, and can you give some of the details and how you personally felt, and did you throttle the man in his sleep?
Big white elephant in the room. I had no clue what you were going to say that, huh? What do these guys know? I've known Derek since I've got to Alberta. He was in Lance's first class he's ever trained. He's always had little weird tendencies about him. So I don't mind. I mean, everyone's different, and that's what I love about this business. I mean, I come off on the show saying, oh, this place is a goddamn circus. If it wasn't a circus, I wouldn't be involved, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know he was going to do the gay spots. Like, I've seen these spots a million times on different shows, and these are your typical homosexual spots that creeps out the tough guys in the crowd or the kids or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But he said he wanted to go. This was his idea to go that way in his episode. And when we were mat wrestling, at first I didn't know this is what he was going to do.
Right.
So when you see me jump up and my fists are cocking, that's pretty real, actually.
Right.
So I was violated for a few seconds, then I clicked in for a second. Like, oh, yeah. That's what he was going to do, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I guess so. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, what were you thinking when you saw the caption?
The caption?
Yeah, that where it said people recently violated.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Lance found it on the Observer site or something. Someone was doing a review of that show. He found the picture. He found the still frame of it. I've never seen it before. He sent it to me in the email, done, and all he could do was laugh. And I could picture him on the other end of the computer screen just giggling. Hey, you son of a bitch. And I put it up myself on Facebook and other places. It was actually pretty funny. I like it.
That is funny. Have you got to, this might be a long shot, have you got to work Seth Knight?
In BC?
Yeah.
I've never worked him. I've been on shows with him.
Oh, okay.
You know him, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. He's I worked with him years ago, and he's just amazingly funny, and he every so often he'll pull up one of those spots as well. But anyway, off topic. Anyway.
Yeah.
Now, Steve, Matt told me to ask you this question. He said you weren't in a match, but you were there, and it was about an I Quit match where the promoter wanted one of the guys to use a gun during the match.
What?
Say that again.
That you're doing a show, and there was a couple guys that were going to have an I Quit match, and the promoter wanted one of the guys to use a gun during the match. But
oh,
I guess
God.
He was talked out of it, and they used an axe instead.
Oh, God. Yeah. the name of that promotion was Power Zone Wrestling in Lethbridge, Alberta.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know about the gun until later on after the show, someone told me about it. Because I was grossed out by the axe. I mean, if someone hollered an axe in the ring with me, I'd probably kill them, you know, or beat them down or get it out of their hands, and then you're getting it.
Uh-huh.
But when I seen him holler the axe, I was mortified. I was like, this is professional wrestling. He's obviously not going to use it, because if he uses it, he's going to jail. You know?
Sure.
It's just unbelievable. I was just standing there. I was like, this is not believable. I can't believe this. Not for one goddamn second. And then later, I don't know if it was that night or maybe it was shows after or in the middle of the night, those long, dark drives home, someone said that this is the promoter now. This is how smart this guy is. He sat down with his lawyer, supposedly, for this event, and he was trying to convince his lawyer that he was going to holler a gun and make the guy quit. And the lawyer had to talk him up and down for days to convince him not to do it. And for some reason, this genius comes up with the idea of the axe. And I guess he was so set on the gun that the lawyer was so tired of arguing with him, he said, okay, just go ahead and do it, and we'll deal with the repercussions after. But he didn't use the axe on the guy. The guy cowered in the corner behind the table while this so-called genius swung the axe through the table inches away from his face.
Holy
crap. And then
he
finally said, I quit. Yeah, I don't know. I've never seen anything like it before. And at the time, I was probably 10 matches in. And I'm not one to open my mouth, especially when there's other people around that's a lot more experienced than me. And I blatantly stood up and said, this is unbelievable. Because if he uses it, he's going to jail. And that's it. I mean, there's kids crying and stuff leaving the building.
Good Lord.
I'm sure they give you a lot of info.
And bringing
up stuff I forgot about.
I think I'd rather be shocked than actually hit with an axe, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool, Steve. We really appreciate all the time that you've given us tonight. And Craig, did you have any final questions before we go?
I think I'm good. I was going to ask what you thought of Tennille getting signed to a developmental deal.
Tennille, I was actually with her at the tryout.
Really?
And right at the first day, I looked at her as soon as we were done. I said, "You know, you're going to get it, don't you?" And she, like, I don't believe in doing that because, you know, jinxing or whatever, superstitious bullshit.
Right.
But it's just, you know, she went in there and she did everything they asked her to do. And she went in and she had her first match. Right after her match, all the trainers shook her hand. She was looking great. She was moving great. Everything was going good. And right from the first day, I called it. I said, you got it, but don't worry. She's like, shut up, T-Bone. Don't say that. But obviously, she got it. She was the first name called when they handed her contracts. She definitely deserves it. She's not one of those girls where I'd say, no, she's a bitch or a little mispress or whatever. She can handle it.
Cool. Also wanted to say that T-Bone will be working for the Prairie Wrestling Alliance July 23rd in Calgary, Alberta. Also on June 30th in Edmonton for Stampede Wrestling, August 3rd through 7th in Saskatchewan. And for the PWA, August 26th in Calgary and August 27th in Edmonton. And check out the World of Hurt website. Check out WOHTV.com and go there, and you can see Lance's very serious face. And check him out in Canada on The Cave. Check your local listings for times, and make sure you check out that French Stallion episode coming up at the end.
And speaking of Lance, before you go, you can feel free to bury him as much as you'd like before you leave.
I can feel free to do what?
To bury Lance before you leave the show.
To bury him?
Ain't going to happen.
You know, from all this time of talking, you think I'm that big a fool? There's nothing to bury that man for, man. I owe him so much, it's not even funny, you know? The first couple of years, I obviously had to go out there and prove that I wanted it and go get it on my own. But ever since he's come into the scene and started booking these local shows around here, I mean, I owe him a lot. He's one hell of an athlete, he's a great worker, and he's one hell of a man.
So, man, well, people, thank you very much for your time. We very much appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for calling. I had fun.
Yeah, good luck with everything you do, brother.
Thanks. Hope I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you,
bro. Yeah, very much so.
Bye.
Cool, that was awkward ending. It's always awkward ending our interviews, isn't it?
I thought it was fine. I knew he wasn't going to bury him.
Oh, duh.
I think Couture put himself on hold. Couture, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry, I got knocked off the line. I was checking on the power situation.
Do you have it or not?
Do I have power? No.
Still not, huh? That's no good.
We're here in Texas. It's like 9 o'clock at night, and it's in July.
You need to go to the freezer and start eating all that ice cream and all that goodies that are going to melt. That's the first thing I would do.
But you know, was out or not?
Yeah. But apparently, you guys wanted to do your all's own little segment here, so I'll give you all a chance to do that if you guys got that right here set up.
Yeah, basically, Couture came up with this idea of having me read some of the headlines of the week. I think it's a good idea, actually. It's could be a good segment.
It's our own little segment. It's a segment we're all taking part in and give our comments on.
Right. So I'll kind of read off a story, and you guys can put your 2 cents in or keep your own opinions to your own self. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. So... I'd really like some background music for this. You think you could hook me up with a little Tom Waits or... No?
I don't have a switchboard.
Okay, never mind. We'll work on that later.
You can make something and I can play it next time.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Our first story comes to us from Australia, in Adelaide, Australia. CM Punk was heckling a fan at ringside, and he called him, he said, "Nice faux hawk, you homo." And he also went on to say that you have a vajayjay, except he didn't use those words. And basically, go ahead.
Now, did he use the word homo, or are you doing your thing where you can't cuss?
No, he said homo.
Yes. Yeah, I might even say fag, but anyway, yes, he called him a homo, and he said, "You have." Go ahead.
Obviously, these people in South Africa or in Australia?
Australia.
Okay, in Australia. Obviously, these people in Australia did not see the South Park episode where they clearly defined that faggots is no longer mean a gay individual. So, in my opinion, he's getting a lot of heat for something that he didn't do because, let's be honest. Everybody says fag, and no one actually means it as someone being gay anymore. So,
hold on.
Yeah,
but
and everybody
you know,
in the UK smokes fags, and if you're building a fire, you gather fags. And CM Punk said, "Hey, nice faux hawk, homo."
It's a shame you don't have to go in wrestling anymore.
And obviously, somebody had a camera, and you know, everybody has a camera on their phone and wherever this got posted. TMZ grabbed a hold of it, and CM Punk was forced to apologize, and he actually had a pretty good apology. It says, "I'm glad TMZ posted the video because everybody needs to be held accountable for their BS, including me. What I said was BS, and I'm embarrassed. I own up to being a total douche in this situation, and I offer my sincere apology to anybody I hurt with my careless words. Ed, you need to copy and paste this and just throw it up anytime Granny gets angry with you."
Once again, she got angry at me because I was trying to defend her. I mean, it was just a misunderstanding, but she's forgiven me, so let's get off that topic here. And
so my thoughts on this whole thing is it's really stupid. He called the guy a homo. Big deal. Unless you were a homo, and yes, I understand it could be used derogatory, but I would imagine if you called Jakey a homo, he would just be like, eh.
Yeah, he would.
No?
Yeah.
People
are too sensitive in world today.
Absolutely.
I just don't.
Absolutely.
I don't know. You can't say one word about somebody jumping on it and labeling you as homophobic or a racist or some bullshit like that.
Like
right.
Bobby Heenan could not do commentary today. As great as Bobby Heenan is, Bobby Heenan would be kicked off the air within one show.
Roddy Piper wouldn't be let on the air.
Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Of course, this all stems from the GLAAD people being all over the WWE's cases of late. And, hey, GLAAD, chill out.
It's all Billy and Chuck's fault.
Absolutely.
You know, they had a walk on and they gave them the gravy boat because they thought they were really gay or really getting married. And then it turned out to be a work and they got mad and they went and got the gravy boat back. I mean,
they're
more uptight than the NCAA, NCAAT or whatever it is.
College sports? NAACP.
Yeah.
You know, some
but
of the
guys,
like, they had Michael Cole had called Josh Matthews a faggot on Twitter and had to go to sensitivity training, which, I don't know. I think that's a bunch of bullshit. I think that's just sent to humiliate somebody to have to go to one of them classes. And you just tell them what not to do, and then, you know, he won't
do it
again. I mean, I don't think you need to be trained or anything. I mean, shit, he's a grown man. You know? He said something stupid. Okay, so what?
Yeah.
Yeah, the world is just too damn PC. The world is just too damn PC.
And these special interest groups like that are bigger fascists and bullies than the people they're railing against, so whatever.
Thank you very much. I blame this all on feminism, by the way. Anyway,
moving on
to our second story. I'll issue my apology tomorrow. Randy Savage's autopsy results are in. The Salinas County Medical Examiner's Office determined if it was officially a heart attack he had behind the wheel. They did the autopsy on him, and they did find a trace of alcohol and several prescription drugs in his system, but none anywhere close to causing him to have the heart attack. Other drugs in his systems were pain relievers, such as acetaminophen and some word I can't say, and hydrocodone, which most of you know as Vicodin. And as well as caffeine, but none of them led
to... caffeine. Randy Savage was on caffeine?
Yeah, I'll tell you. You mix Vicodin and caffeine together, and that's a cocktail waiting for disaster.
I'm surprised it wasn't cocaine or something the way he was. Or maybe he's killed out.
I'm sure that the years of cocaine abuse and steroids had nothing to do with his heart attack, but
I believe he did
have
a large part.
Yes, he did. And I'm just I don't want to say I'm glad that none of these other things were found in his system and that he was on drugs at the time, but it was a heart attack, and the heart was enlarged from years of steroid abuse, and it was the auto accident that ended up killing him in the heart attack. So sad, sad story to end the
I thought the auto accident actually had nothing to do with the death. That was strictly the heart attack that killed him.
Right. Right. Because his wife actually walked away from it.
Yeah, then he crossed like over the median into the oncoming traffic, and then she swerved to hit a tree or something like that.
I think she actually grabbed the wheel at one point, swerving away from oncoming traffic, as I remember. I can't remember exactly what it was, but
yeah,
sad, sad story. He's going to be missed. The third story, WWE robbed in South Africa. Several members of the SmackDown crew had items taken from their luggage on their flights from the U.S. to Cape Town, South Africa on the 5th. Orton noted items like a watch, a GPS, and clothes were taken out of his baggage, and also some other wrestlers. He noted he had several locks on the baggage, and those were the ones that were targeted. Which guy actually made – oh, Christian. Christian actually made comments from one of his matches about how he hated this town and how he was robbed. Kind of sad.
So if you ever go to
locks on their stuff.
Yeah, they'll put locks and have some trashy-ass bags and make it look like you're fucking poor or something, and then they won't touch it.
They could carry on all your valuables.
Yeah, and that's crazy. I mean, because there's not like, I don't know how long the layover was, but it's not like these guys have a long time. It's like, it kind of makes you think that they know what they're doing and how to do this really quick, you know? So it's
fairly easy to find out who did this.
Right.
You got a very few list of places that luggage went through, you know, to get to them. So, I mean, clearly there's something on the inside of the airline.
It's obviously airline attendants, but seriously, are they going to ever catch these people? You think they have cameras on these guys all the time? Like, give me a break.
Yeah, it's not a U.S. airport. South Africa is not as bad as most African countries, but for the most part, most places in Africa are third world countries. I'm sure their airport security and however they evaluate their employees are not nowhere near as close to here in America, so... You know, just like that's going to happen. Yeah, it's the same as happening. What I want to know is why, like Brian said, what the fuck is everyone carrying GSPs for? You know,
GSPs?
You can't get it on your fucking phone.
Well, if I had a GSP in my bag, I'll tell you what, I would pull him out at any moment to attack someone. Yeah. You mean GPS, Ed? Yes. By the way,
they're much more advanced than what you have on your phone.
By the way, if I have a watch, a GPS, or any of those things, I'm carrying it on the plane with me. I'm not putting it in my bag and checking it.
Yeah. I figured when you get into the town, you're going to, I don't know, at least take cabs everywhere. I mean, I'm not going to go driving around South Africa, I don't think. I think they at least have a bus.
Heck no.
Yeah, they have buses that take them pretty much everywhere, so.
I don't see why they don't just charter their own flights to take those guys when they got to travel so far, for like 30 hours. That's ridiculous.
Because shit happens when they do that. Shit happens. You got Ric Flair running around naked. You got Xbox cutting out people's ponytails. You got Brock Lesnar throwing Mr. Perfect, trying to throw him through the freaking door. You know, it's shit happens. You get sued. All the stewardess sue you for Ric Flair trying to bounce his dick off the top of the back of their head. You know, it's better for them to go commercial.
Our next story, The Rock responds to the CM Punk promo. Rock responded to The Punk's promo by simply saying, CM Punk, it's simple business. The Rock is in the main event of WrestleMania because it draws more money in one night than you will draw in a lifetime.
True.
Yeah, true.
It's hard to argue.
Our next story, Billy Gunn believes he should be in the WWE Hall of Fame and wants to return to the company. Kip Billy Gunn Sopp, now 47, is working at as a personal trainer for high school athletes, training them in specific sports and workout routines. He's also said that he believes that Road Dogg, that would be
Brian James.
Thank you, Brian James. And Sean Waltman should be in the WWE Hall of Fame as well. He also pushed that he would like to return, thinking the company needs more 90 stars being brought back. The old fans would love it.
The old fans are not coming back if Billy Gunn's there, I can guarantee you.
Well, at first I was thinking he's being ridiculous about one. Well, dude, Jesus Christ, the limo driver's in the Hall of Fame, so, I mean, anybody could be in the Hall of Fame. But
yeah,
if you're talking about DX deserves to be in the Hall of Fame without question. But,
well, no way,
you know,
one of the biggest teams they ever had at that period, you know, and one of the highest points of the company. Plus, you know, I hate the argument of all the who should be in there. Look who's already in there. Let's put everybody in. Let's put me in. Let's put Ed in. Let's put Granny in. We all deserve to win.
And despite what everyone says about Billy Gunn, there was a time when Billy Gunn was badass. You know,
there was a time
when he was actually he actually cared and worked hard, and the New York Jollies were the best damn tag team for fucking years. I mean, he's not as bad as ever. He's one of those guys that seriously gets that bad rap.
He was a good worker. I mean, when he was in the Smoking Guns, I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, they were a good team. They just had a bad gimmick, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good worker. And besides that, I was at a indie show one time, and he wanted to see my keister, and I kind of, you know, like, hey, what's up, Ken? Anyway.
That's
no?
Scary. Yeah, I believe. At least Sean Waltman belongs in the Hall of Fame. I thought, you know.
Oh, definitely. Waltman should definitely be in. Road Dogg, maybe. Billy Gunn.
All of them together as DX deserve to be in it. But Billy Gunn, the last thing I had heard of Billy Gunn before this was his mistress decided to come out on YouTube with a bunch of, like, audios and...
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, like a lot of embarrassing stuff come out. I mean, that was a pretty messed up situation. He kind of got himself in there.
Wow.
Then he was wearing Candace Michelle's outfit on TNA.
Well,
that was the worst outfit I've ever seen a professional wrestler wear. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He's wearing like the steel chaps and stuff like that. He looked totally gay. Totally gay.
He'd wear those things that Tori Wilson would wear, like from the knees.
Yeah, Tori Wilson.
Like,
yeah. Not a good look.
Yeah.
Scott Hall is in jail again. Scott Hall checked himself into the Seminole County Jail Medical Unit on the 5th of this month. He will be there until the 12th. He is in a medical unit due to poor health. Hall was sentenced to 10 days in prison a few weeks ago, and all sides agreed that he would go in after the holiday. His 10 days was cut to 8 because he had served 2 days at the time of his arrest last year at the bar where he was drunk and throwing a fit upon trying to be restrained to be arrested.
I thought it was a mugshot. He's in bad shape.
Now, everyone, that one show where he was all fucked up and they had him like kind of work whatever, that made like a lot of news. But not too long ago, like maybe a couple weeks ago, he worked another show where he was basically in the corner for the girl that was part of what the hell? Who's the? Excuse my language. Who's the gay guy on TNA?
Orlando Jordan.
Orlando Jordan. Okay, Orlando Jordan's chick. Her name's Santana. She worked in an indie show, and he was in her corner. And the reports that I've heard from that show were that he was actually doing pretty good and was actually in good behavior, and everything went up without a hitch. So. You know, but I'm not surprised he served some jail time. I mean, the dude really.
I thought it was horrible how they helped him go out there in that one indie show. I thought that was just terrible.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
At first, I thought it was a Jeff Hardy parody because, you know, it was like a week after the Jeff Hardy thing on that pay per view where they had to help him up to the gorilla position. But yeah, I mean, I thought that sending him out there like that, I thought that was just bad decision. I mean,
I give this guy less than 8 months. I think he'll be in the ground in about 8 months.
And he's so sad too, because when he was like in his prime, I thought he was an awesome worker.
He was awesome when he was a rookie, when he looked like Magnum TA.
Yeah.
Indie wrestler dies in a tragic accident. James Honeycutt, 30, a 6'10" Florida independent wrestler, suffered a fatal accident in his regular job working at the Magical Midway Thrill Park in Orlando. Honeycutt was working as a maintenance worker at the park. The ride had stalled and the worker went up the center scaffolding to get the people stuck, get them down. Once the people were off the ride, Honeycutt was up to see what was wrong with the ride. He fell from the scaffolding, but because he had a safety harness, reports said he only fell 6 feet, but in the fall he suffered major head injuries and several fractures. He was suspended between 40 and 60 feet above the ground. Firefighters went up to get him, and it took 45 minutes to get him down. It is not clear what caused his fall. Honeycutt wrestled as the wrestler named Korean Monster Rise Woo. Honeycutt never had much wrestling training. Apparently, he couldn't take a fall. Oops, too soon? He was put on the indie show because he was so big. Court Bauer pushed him to Harley Race about knowing a 6'10 Korean, but Honeycutt was just not that into it. Scott Hall wanted to help him out, but after first thinking his size would make him a big star, he felt he would never be a player. As a man who had a accident on the job to take away your wrestling career, that sucks. It sucks. This kid died. I mean, 30 years old, working at a theme park, probably not his dream job, but sad. So,
did you have an accident on the job?
I did have an accident on the job.
What was it? Don't mind me asking.
You've never heard this story?
I don't think so. Was this like your regular job?
You've got to be kidding me.
He drinks a lot, Craig. He drinks a lot.
I don't think I've ever heard this story.
Never heard the story of Craig getting his foot cut off.
No, I don't think I have. Sorry.
It was October 1st in, 1999. So almost 12 years ago. It'll be 12 years ago this October. Anyway, I was at my job. It was 3:15 in the afternoon on a Friday. I was pulling some lumber out of a rack. I stumbled back. I fell into a pile of particle board that was stacked up against a wall. The particle board started to fall. I turned around and saw it, not realizing how much particle board was there. I went to catch it and push it back against the wall. Unbeknownst to me, it was 21 sheets of 3/4-inch particle board, about 1,600 pounds. I fell, and as I fell on my back, my foot, if you were to fall straight back, your foot would be up in the air. The edge of the boards caught that, and it ripped my left foot almost completely off my leg. Two guys came over. They lifted the pile. I drug myself out. I saw my boot now twisted back and pointed the other direction towards me, dragging along. I saw the bone of my, I guess it would be my femur, sticking out of the bottom of my pants. Didn't bleed a whole lot, but I got a ride to Harborview Hospital. I was there for 21 days, where they reattached my foot. They took my lat out of my right side, so I have no lat muscle on my right side, and they were able to patch my leg because most of the meat on the inside of my leg from about my knee down to my ankle came with it as the foot ripped off. And they took a skin graft off my right leg and basically put pins in my femur and also in my ankle And I was told at first they were going to amputate it, and they were able to save it. Then let me think how this went. I was in a nursing home for 3 weeks and then off of work for 6.5
nursing
months.
Home? Like with old
yeah,
people?
They had to send me to a nursing home because I wasn't able to. Basically, if the hospital sends you home and, you know, there's some kind of an accident in your home and you're not able to get out of the house.
Yeah.
At that time, I could not. I was in a bed for 21 days and I was physically unable to even sit up. I lost about 60 pounds in the hospital because I hadn't eaten. They had me on a morphine drip and anyway, it was a bad scene. Finally,
didn't, like, after the surgery, you didn't, like, get up in the middle of the night and walk on your foot to go get a hamburger or anything and store your foot in even more, did you? Take care of Von Air? Okay.
No, nothing like that. But anyway, that pretty much ended my wrestling days, and it was hard enough just to get to work. But anyway, long story short, they said I wouldn't walk again, and said I wouldn't, you know, do a lot of things that I'm doing now. So, you know, it was probably, in hindsight, it was like one of the better things that have happened in my life. And if I'll explain that by, you know, just saying I was kind of a jack off at the age of 27 and helped me evaluate who I was and some of the things I was doing. So I dabbled a little bit back in wrestling after that. I did some commentary for Tim Flowers and worked out with Buddy a few times and did a couple of spots being a manager, but nothing really after that. So I'm just
any
happy
good nursing
to...
Home stories?
What's that?
Any good nursing home stories? Any crazy old people?
There was... My wife's name is Michelle, and there was a guy across the hall who sporadically would just shout Michelle at the top of his lungs in the middle of the night. That was kind of weird. But other than that, no good nursing home stories.
Play a lot of checkers?
No, I watched a lot of TV. Did
Brian Alvarez ever come visit you in the hospital?
He did, actually. He visited me. Maybe twice. But anyway, he was there for me in spirit. I even had Tim Flowers actually give me a couple phone calls. I've never felt so close to the man.
At least you weren't roomed with Vern Gagne. You might not be here today.
Anyway,
anyway,
that's kind of my story. I've to this day, I still... You won't notice it a whole lot, but every so often, like when I get tired or I've had a long day, I will noticeably limp. I have a bad ankle, obviously, and I have a bad knee on the same knee where I actually wear a knee brace most of the time when I'm at work. And from where they replaced all the tissue on the inside of my leg, I actually have to wear... Don't rib me about this. I have to wear a compression hose on the one side. So that is what it is. And I have a prescription for Vicks. And
you never share at WrestleMania.
Well, I kind of need them, Ed, and they monitor how much I take. So,
like, you don't have anything else to take.
You went on a little bender once.
Anyway, so other than that, I'm feeling fine, but I do need to get rid of the 60 pounds that I put on since getting out of the hospital. So,
well, good thing you didn't get off your foot. You're like Kota Kinte. Hopping across
Africa. Ric Flair refused to appear on an advertised house show in TNA. TNA house show at MCU Park in Brooklyn, New York on July 1st. Ric Flair did not perform at the event, leaving some fans very upset, and I can understand why. Flair was actually backstage at the show, but refused to go out. He claimed that he was never told to go out or to perform, or only to do a pre-show VIP autograph signing. So he did what he was actually supposed to do and wasn't going to do any more than that. Whatever communications problems existed between Flair and TNA management were quickly sorted out as TNA made it clear that he was expected to get a promo during their house show the next day in Asbury Park, New Jersey. Flair, of course, did that. Their VIP things are so lame. They if you buy a ticket within the first, I think it's within the first five rows, they let you come in the building a half hour before everybody else does. And you get to basically fight your way to ringside, and wrestlers will come down the ramp. They will walk around the ringside area, sign autographs, take pictures, chit-chat, and so forth and so on. And that's what Flair did. So, big whoop.
I still think he could have gone out there, even though maybe he didn't know he was supposed to. It wasn't going to hurt him anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but also TNA.
Why didn't he bring it up?
You know, why don't
why
TNA
didn't he bring it up?
Well, I mean, maybe it's a story on his end, and he actually knew it and just didn't want to go out and was just saying that. You never know, you know.
Maybe. Speaking
of
TNA, we got
a lot of things pointing to Flair not doing things on the up and up lately. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
We got 5 minutes of live air first, so let me get the plug out of the way real quick. I don't want CV getting mad at me. Everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download or stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows like the Angry Marks Show and the O Show and Milk and Minutia and about half a dozen more, probably even more. So everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. There's always something playing every night. So check that. All right, go ahead.
That's it?
Yeah.
TNA has a pay-per-view this weekend, and I'm actually interested in seeing it. We have the Destination X lineup, AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels. We have Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn. Abyss versus Brian Kendrick for the X title. Samoa Joe versus Kazarian. A X Division contract match with Austin Aries versus Shima Ion versus Low Ki versus Jack Evans, which I'm guessing might steal the show. A number one contenders match with Robbie E versus Amazing Red versus Alex Shelley versus Shannon Moore. And this is an Ultimate X number one contenders match. It also says Generation Me will be in action, but somebody has not told Generation Me that they are, in fact, going to be in action because one of the guys on Twitter just yesterday said they didn't know if they were going to be in action. And also a Doug Williams Open Challenge. Hopefully it's somebody good. Maybe the pirate will come back, John Pierre.
Now you mentioned, you said you were actually a little excited for this pay-per-view. Now,
yeah.
Here's the sad part about that statement, because, you know, you might think that's a good statement because you're actually excited, was excited for a TNA pay-per-view. If I'm not mistaken, you're excited for about four things. You're excited to see little buddy Jack Evans. You're excited to see Austin Aries. You're excited to see Low Ki, and you're excited to see 50-year-old Jerry Lynn.
Pretty much, yeah.
Now, what else are you
excited
about other than those guys?
I'm sure you think Styles and Daniels will have a great match.
Yeah, I'm totally. That's going to be a great match, and I actually think Samoa Joe and Kazarian will have a great match as well.
Yeah, the only match I don't like Brian Kendrick and Abyss because he's supposed to be bringing the title back to the X Division, but it shouldn't be a guy like Brian Kendrick because he's got such a horrible character. He just, like, comes off as a fucking nerd.
Right.
I mean, it should be somebody a little bit more high profile than that, which makes me think they're actually not going to make anything out of this division after the pay-per-view, so, you know,
right.
Be back to normal, I think.
I mean, looking at all the guys on the pay-per-view, the only wrestler that I can't stand to watch is probably Robbie E, and he's pretty decent. Oh, wait, there is Zima Ion, and that guy, Oof, the wrong man won that match.
I've never actually seen Jack Evans work, so.
I've seen Jack work many times as Trey Lane. I was waiting last night as I was watching the show for them to throw out the fact that Brian Alvarez trained him. They did this probably 8 years ago. We were watching the Wednesday night deal, you know, where you paid the $5 a week or whatever. And Mike Tenay even shouted out Brian Alvarez as Evans's trainer. It was kind of funny.
I just remember seeing several years ago. It was like, I think it was like on a news show or something, and it showed Brian, and he was like much bigger, a little bit thicker. And he's talking to Jack Evans in the locker room or something, telling him what to do and how to work and shit like this. I don't know if you remember
that. Hey, Katura, the switchboard's telling me that you've been dropped.
Me?
Well, he's right here.
I'm right here.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of weird. It's like it's, I don't know. It's but guys, actually, I need to wrap up the show because I actually have some work to go tonight. Unlike Craig, who's gonna be stuck in his room all night, I actually have a hot date. I have to go.
Read the last story real quick, Craig. Read that last story.
All right, hurry up.
Yeah, we do have one more story. It says Mike Sempervive plays his audience for fools. Earlier this week, WOL co-host Mike Sempervive. Friended supposed online nemesis Ed in San Antonio on Facebook, thereby providing his on-air feud with Ed is simply a work. Sempervive tried to backtrack on the post on Facebook by saying, "No, you don't get it. Ed friended me," which further made him try to play the audience for fools by not realizing when you confirm friend requests, you are in essence friending them. Blog Talk Radio personality Chris Cottrell made a statement on his Facebook, "Mike Sempervive is a phony, has Ed's high school diploma." No word yet from Sports Byline if this will cost him his spot on the show for the deception, but Over the Top Radio has learned that Brian Alvarez is actively seeking a replacement for Sempervive, and he's contacted several people, and none of them reside in Texas.
Fine, he did it again. He's supposed to do the damn up day on Friday, and he did it. But as far as Chip, Chip's a freaking liar because he sent me a friend request. And I just feel sorry for him because he had like 10 friends at the time, and I accepted him.
That's
the only reason.
Such hatred.
I was on his wall while I was fucking with him about it. This one. After the CM Punk thing, I mean, I want to believe all this stuff, and then Mike Sempervive throws this in my face that this isn't a real feud. I was just disappointed. I thought it had legs.
Awesome.
And somebody think it's Facebook. It's a way to keep an eye on your enemies. What do you think I friend at Coughlin? But anyway,
good
guys, I got to go. So let's final thoughts, Craig. Hurry up, Craig.
Everybody have a great evening. Ed, please post the download on T-Bone's Facebook page. He really was really wanting to check this out. Also,
okay,
in the next coming weeks,
I'm going to need you to, I'm actually not Facebook friends with him, so if you could send me his name that he goes by, message me that, and then I'll do that.
Yeah, no worries. Also, in the upcoming couple weeks, we've got Kenny Omega is going to be on the show very, very soon, and also a man by the name of Pat Tanaka. So I'll try to set that up for next week, or maybe Kenny Omega next week, and then I'll get Alan Farrell to fill in for me as I won't be on next week.
Okay,
sounds cool.
Okay.
Any final thoughts?
No. Are you and me still doing a post Money in the Bank paper or show next Sunday? Or do you know?
Yeah, we should be. We should be. I'm deciding I'm not going into work.
Okay.
No, it's when you're seen free, you can take the night off when you feel like it and not go in. We'll do that. So everybody come back next week, and hopefully we'll have one of the guests, Craig, just lined up next week. So everybody come back next week, and we will talk to everybody then.
Johnny Ringo.
What's going on, John?
I love you, Johnny Ringo.
You must be Ringo.
Keep your hand on your gun.
Johnny Ringo. Deadliest pistol ever since Wild Bill.
Damn, what was his name again?
Johnny Ringo. Johnny Ringo, are you still on the line?
The story spread throughout the land that I had beaten Ringo's hand. And it was just the years, they say, that made me put my guns away. But on his grave, they can't explain the tarnished star above the name of Ringo.
Well, I would like to say that I hate everyone more now than ever before, except Johnny Ringo. He's the only guy that I like. Hey, this is Johnny Ringo. How are y'all?
One more thing before we go. I kind of forgot. As of last week, the show is now 3 years old, so happy birthday to Over the Top Radio, formerly the Drunkcast, and to all you fly-by-night thousands and thousands of podcasts. Y'all can kiss my ass, because you know when you're as good as we will ever be. So, good night, everybody.